And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. David, this Christmas, everybody in America ended up getting a lump of coal in their stocking courtesy of Joe Manchin, senator from the coal bosses. People say he's a senator from a coal state. There are plenty of working people who live in that coal state who are menaced by what he does. But there are every coal boss in that state is delighted with what he does. And he's one of the coal bosses. In any case, that's what we had for Christmas, coal in our stockings. And that's what the Democrats have to contend with, because they need an achievement. They need a series of achievements. And even if they've had some achievements, all the going back and forth with Manchin has made it seem as if there have been no achievements.
That is correct. He's taking all the joy out of the gifts that this Congress was able to give so far. It's interesting that this week, after he dropped his bombshell on Fox News last week, that the mine workers came out against him, in not directly against him, but saying we want the Build Back Better bill.
Well, that's as much against him as it can be. I mean, it's just a polite way of being against him.
Yeah. And everybody's kind of tiptoeing around. Another interesting part, of course, was that he seems now to be doing some backtracking on certain aspects of the bill. And I think the Democrats are going to have to take what they could get. You know, there was the one theory that what they should do is just break the bill up into individual pieces and put people on the record. And that, by the way, that includes Republicans. You know, if you're going to run a full-page ad, let's say, in the newspapers in West Virginia about getting this bill passed, you really should address it to both of the senators there. The Republican senator, Shelley Moore Capito, her father was the governor, Arch Moore. I think he comes from a coal background as well. And put him on the spot. And you know, first thing you might start with is reducing the cost of insulin from $1,000 a month to $35 a month. And then you'd go to the next thing, maybe putting stuff into Medicare, either dental or hearing or something like that. And, you know, have show whether he's going to vote for that or not. He indicated that he would be amenable to funding pre-kindergarten for 10 years. So you do that separately. He even indicated he'd spend some money on some of the climate measures. So you put that in there and see what happens.
The most important climate measures he took out. For example, the generating coal from fossil fuels, which is going to be banned by the Build Back Better bill, he removed that. Stopping offshore oil drilling, he removed that. He only wants what is good for the fossil fuel industry. And by the way, not just coal. He's also for the oil and gas interests. He represents them as well. He does not represent the oil and gas workers, and he does not represent the coal mining workers, not the coal mine owners. Those he does represent.
Yeah. But I think the worst thing he came out with was when he revealed what his true feelings are towards ordinary people, when he said that he's against extending the family tax credit, child tax credit, because they're only going to spend their money, you know, on frivolous things, on lotteries and whatever, and drugs and, you know, alcohol.
He's against what he calls the entitlement society.
Which
everybody
rich.
Who's an economist speaks of as the social wage. I mean, you get your income not just from your employer. Some of it comes from society. You get your education from society. You get your roads, your ability to communicate, to transport things. That comes from society. More and more things come from society. The fact that old people don't die of poverty in their old age, that's from society. That's the social wage. He's against all that. He says, that's an entitlement. You should be glad you're getting it. Why isn't it a human right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He's against family leave.
Yeah.
Every other country in the civilized world has family leave up to 12 weeks. He won't even go for four.
Right.
And yet, all across the country, you have employers who are learning that they can't hire people back because people don't have the opportunity to have some of these benefits.
Well, it's not even a benefit. We ought to stop using the word benefit. It's not a benefit. Yeah. They don't have this service. It's been taken from them. It's kept from them. And that's not a benefit. As a matter of fact, the only benefit is the employer, who now has the chance to hire some workers and make some profit. If they don't produce this, the people can't work. That's who gets the benefit. The benefit is to the employer who gets the benefit of getting a profit.
Yeah, it's this old viewpoint still permeates and percolates through society. And we're just going to have to see what happens. But as you said, a lot of coal in the stockings of people this year. And people are going to die because of it, or people are going to get hurt for it, you know, with the price of
it. The future of the planet is at stake.
Yeah.
It's not just the short-term profits of these coal barons that count. The whole world is menaced by climate crisis. These people like Biden say it, not Biden, like Manchin deny it.
Yeah, I mean, we see it every day somewhere, somehow is having an event that they've never seen before. But you talked about people dying and old people dying. I don't know if you saw this week that they came out that the average lifespan of Americans has dropped significantly over the last couple of years.
That's right.
Mostly because of COVID, but still, it's dropped. And
I think this was dropped again before COVID, if you really want to know.
And then the other thing was that America grew by the smallest amount of people in decades. In decades. Every year we would, our births would outstrip deaths, and then we'd have immigration. And right now we're barely growing as a country. And of course, you need to do that because younger people have to come in and replace older people in the workforce and what have you. So there are real life consequences going on there, and real life changes in our society. We talked about the miners' union, but the only good news this week was that the Kellogg strike got settled.
Yes, and it got settled more or less beneficial to the workers who refused two settlement offers before this settlement. And the issue, as you recall, the issue that the workers pointed to was in Kellogg, the company instituted two different pay scales. If you were a person hired after a certain date, you got paid less for doing the same job as your coworker standing right next to you who got hired before you. And the workers, the union said, everybody who does the same job should get the same pay. That seems reasonable. And the company said, oh, no, we can't do that. And they just stood adamant, the company. And so the workers said, well, so we're not going to work. You won't make a profit. That's all. If we can't get the same pay, we're not going to give you your profits. And they rejected settlement offer after settlement offer until the union was able to get the company to bend.
Yeah. Not immediately, but it's a work in progress, and it will occur over a few year period.
That's right. But the trend of the contract is to eliminate this two-tier wage system.
Right, which breaks up the workers.
Yep. Puts one worker at the competition to the other worker, and in the long run means that as the older workers die, the company ends up with a wage scale, a wage bill, much less than it had before, boosting its profit.
Yeah.
So the workers produce exactly the same amount of production, even more, The company gets richer and richer. The shareholders get richer and richer. The managers give themselves bigger and bigger bonuses. And the entire workforce that produces all of this, it gets relatively poorer and poorer.
Yeah, it's the disparity becomes greater and greater.
Yeah.
And you know, there was nothing that pointed this out more than what happened over the last couple weeks, where the former CEO of McDonald's Corporation was forced to give back, or the company clawed back, some of the golden parachute money that they gave him when he got forced out for violating company policy. And
I think the company policy he violated was he forced workers in the office to give him free sex.
Yeah, it was he was using his position and violating the idea of that you shouldn't be dating people or having relationships with people in the company. But the amount is really what's startling. It was $105 million. You know, the Joe Manchins of the world never worry about these people wasting the money they get in bonuses like that. You know, that they'd go out and drink too much champagne, or that they would take the money, you know, and sort of spend it on frivolous things that they really don't need. That view of the wealthy never really crosses Joe Manchin's mind.
No, what Joe Manchin was yelling about was inflation. Giving a child care credit to working people will cause inflation. You know, you would think that inflation was something that just happens, that humans have nothing to do with inflation. You know, inflation is largely caused by companies increasing their profits. It's not a mystery what causes inflation. Companies increase their profits by raising their prices. That causes inflation. That is inflation. The fact of the matter is that two-thirds of publicly traded companies in the United States had substantially larger profit margins in 2021 than they had in 2020 and in 2019. In 2021, nearly 100 of the largest companies saw their profit margins go up by 50% and more relative to 2019. And that's not by some socialist journal. That was reported by the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
When they raise their prices like that, it costs you and me more. That's inflation. That's not the big better bill isn't going to cause inflation. Companies using monopoly power to be able to raise their prices and raising their prices, that's inflation.
Well, yeah, and monopolies is another thing. Of course, if you've got to raise your prices in order to pay $105 million plus
exactly
to a CEO.
Exactly.
You know, and you got these complaints about...
They don't even raise it in order to pay him $105 million. They raise it, and the consequence is the guy can get $105 million.
But they don't raise the guy on the workers or on the assembly line.
That'll cause inflation.
Yeah. Whose productivity is what makes the companies profitable.
Exactly.
Sure.
It's obscene, if you really want to know the truth. Obscene.
And the concentration of wealth. You know, in Pennsylvania, we're now seeing on the Senate race, and Pennsylvania is one of the hotly contested Senate races. It's the one that the pundits seem to feel is most likely to be shifted from Republican to Democrat. And there's this really hot-button issue going on as to who the Republican nominee is going to be. The Democrats are also having a fight between the highly progressive John Fetterman and the more moderate Connor Lamb. But the Republicans seem to be vying now for who can be the most regressive. Remember, I used to use that term. And the MAGA people. Donald Trump had expressed his support for Sean Parnell, who, by the way, had lost a congressional race to Connor Lamb. But Parnell sort of self-destructed. A judge found that he had, in fact, been abusive to his wife and family, and so he suspended his campaign. And into the breach stepped...
In other words, discrimination by the Democratic Party against wife beaters and child beaters.
Yeah, yeah. And there seems to be an epidemic of those in the Republican Party. But Dr. Oz stepped into the breach, has been on the air, spouting the Trumpian line about the epidemic and the pandemic. And this week we had another wealthy, mega wealthy candidate, Dave McCormick, pop up on the air on ads. Now, he hasn't announced that he's a candidate yet. That's what's very interesting about this. The ads are paid for by his quote-unquote exploratory committee. Now, one of the raps on Dr. Oz, on Mahmoud Oz, is that he's really not a Pennsylvanian, that he lives in New Jersey, and he's lived there for a long time. Dave McCormick is a resident of Connecticut. And he's a hedge fund type of guy. And the indication seems to be that he's going to go full MAGA as well. He looks a lot more like what Pennsylvania Republican politicians look like. He seems to be more, buttoned down type of white collar guy. And a very clever ad that he came out with had nothing to do with politics directly. He talked about his father and his family and having a Christmas tree, and that when he was sent to the Middle East in the service, his father managed to get a Christmas tree sent over to him. You know, very pointed ad and pointing on the religious right. Which Oz has been trying to point out too, because he mentions God and in his ads. So,
what would he need a Christmas tree for? He was in the Middle East, the home territory of Christianity. He didn't need to ship in anything from North America. He could have found something locally to proclaim his Christianity.
I mean, the Christmas trees, I believe, came from pagan worship up
in
Scandinavia. it's like that one ad where they have the palm trees lit up with Christmas lights. That's the kind of tree that would have been there 2,000 years ago.
You think they had Christmas lights?
Well, no, they claim they had the light of the star of Bethlehem, and that was about it.
Right.
That was about it. So anyway, we had that this week. And then...
It's important. First of all, this guy's a Sharpie. You can see right away. Pennsylvania law says that if you advertise your candidacy, you're a candidate. And if you're a candidate, you have to start filing papers. Especially, you have to start filing papers that show who's contributing to your campaign and how you're spending the money. By doing it the way he's doing it, he's trying to plausibly claim he's not a candidate. He's being the subject of a draft, so he can campaign without being subject to the law. What can you expect from a guy who hasn't even been elected and he's already shaving the law?
Yeah, well, I'm sure he shaves the law a lot as a hedge fund manager.
They all do. They all do. Exactly right. And it's very important, because if a guy like this could get elected senator, if you're really concerned about inflation, nothing is going to happen that's going to stop inflation, because the corporations won't let it. They don't want anything to stop them from raising their prices.
Yeah.
There's only one way, really, to stop inflation: price controls. If inflation is really strong, you use price controls. That's what the American government did during World War II. That's what the American government did after World War II. They didn't let companies raise prices. When the steel industry bosses tried to raise steel prices in 1948 or 1949, Truman said, "I'm nationalizing the steel companies. I'm not allowing prices to be raised." And they weren't able to raise them. He didn't nationalize the companies, but he threatened to.
Yeah, but that got shot down by the Supreme Court. What?
But it stopped the price increase.
Yeah, but the two methods are generally interest rates rise.
That doesn't work. The monetary approach, raising interest rates, which is what the Milton Friedman types proposed, is directly contrary to what the Truman Roosevelt people did, which was government controls, government price controls. The Friedman approach, which is raise interest rates, that leads to austerity, and austerity has been the dominant theory now since the 1990s, 1980s, and it does not work, and it immiserates the working people, and it causes the death of all social programs, and it allows guys like Manchin to say we have to trim government spending. That's not the way to handle inflation. The way to handle inflation is for the government to prevent price increases.
Well, the other way is the antitrust laws.
But that's part of it. That's part of preventing price increases.
Because monopolies have the virtually unlimited power of raising prices. But in any event, we talk about people who cheat on the law. And cheat on things. We get back to, of course, the cheater in chief, Donald Trump,
laws that affect him.
Yeah, that's correct. He things are tightening. He's gone to court to try to stop, in a frivolous lawsuit, stop the Attorney General in New York, Letitia James, from going further in her civil suit for him. And he's gone to court this week to try to stop the January 6th commission from getting his papers, claiming executive privilege. As I had predicted, the appellate court acted very quickly and knocked him down. And now the commission has asked the Supreme Court to expedite its decision on whether they're going to take the case. And we'll see what happens. All this is just delaying tactics.
But that's meanwhile, his strategy, right? Always his strategy.
Right. But meanwhile, he's going to step into it again because he announced that on January 6th, the one-year anniversary of the insurrection, he's going to get out and hold a press conference. And that ought to be what they described prior to January 6th, they said it was going to be wild. This ought to be pretty wild, too. We're not sure where he's going to come from because he's given contradictory theories. One was that it was Antifa, and the other one was that these were just patriots that were doing this thing. What he's going to say is that the insurrection occurred on election night.
Yes, that's what he's been saying. January 6th was just a reaction to the real insurrection.
Yeah, it was the patriotic thing. And, of course, the commission seems to just keep going along. They're going to hold more public hearings, I understand, back in come January. They've asked politely.
But ultimately, doesn't Garland have to go after guys like Bannon? Doesn't he have to prosecute try to prosecute Trump?
Yeah. Well, you have to work your way up. And we don't, Garland has already said he's going against Bannon. Question is he going to go against Mark Meadows and all the others?
Well, if he doesn't, doesn't it make a mockery of the prosecution of the 600 foot soldiers if you don't go after the colonels and the generals of the thing?
And it's interesting that the judges who have heard a lot of these cases now have indicated that they believe that this was inspired, higher up in the chain. But they're saying, nevertheless, you foot soldiers, you got to be punished too. You believe these guys, that was your problem, but we, the court, don't have the power to prosecute. If they are prosecuted, we'll handle it then.
Oh, I understand the court can't do it if Garland doesn't act. I'm just saying Garland has to act. He should act right away. What is he waiting for?
We don't know.
But we should know. If he waits too long, it's useless.
Don't forget, we're still not even a year down the road. So we'll have to see.
But you know, politics is quick. This is political. This is not just justice. This is not just law. This is basically politics. The longer Trump and his gang can carry on about stop the steal, the more difficult it is to put him to justice. It's just the way it works. Nobody will believe it.
Well, we're going to find out. We're going to find out one way or the other. Meanwhile, in Pennsylvania, we have the justices are probably, the Supreme Court's probably going to be asked to delay the primary election, which is scheduled for May of next year.
Did that happen the last time they had to do a map? Did they have to delay the
primary? I don't know if they had to delay it, but I know it's been delayed at least once. I think it was delayed last year because of the pandemic, if I'm not mistaken. But the reason for the delay is that the reapportionment and the redistricting maps have not been finalized. And as a result of that, nobody knows what district candidates are going to run in. There are going to be major shifts in the state House and the state Senate. I'm going to be in a district that's far different than the one I was in, or that I am in now. And matter of fact, Jake, there's a good chance I'm going to be in your district.
I'm sorry, don't want people like you in our district.
Yeah, well.
Not in my backyard.
Not in your backyard, right. Yeah. And then, of course, the big one is the congressional district, which we don't know. Matt Cartwright is the most endangered Democrat in the Commonwealth and in the country, maybe. He has won in a plus Trump district, and very few Democrats have. And so we're waiting to see whether they put more Republicans or more Democrats in his district.
Well, the more they add counties like mine, my county in the last election voted for the Republican Party. They had a 70% vote.
Yeah,
more than 2-1.
Right, and so we're waiting to see. Matt Carway, I'd like to see more Monroe County go into his district, and I said, well, that would take votes away from Susan Wild, but he told me that Susan Wild has a path to get more, replace her Democrats by going farther south. So we'll see how the
we'll see how that happens.
That's going to be an interesting way, and there's no way of knowing until it's done. And then, of course, we had an incident this week with another one of the Democratic congresswomen from the Philadelphia suburbs. Remember, the Philadelphia suburbs used to be all Republican, and now they've gone considerably Democratic, although the last election this year, the local elections did not go for the Democrats. But Mary Gay Scanlon, one of the Democratic congresswomen, was coming out of a meeting in Philadelphia this week, and she got carjacked at gunpoint. So crime is going to be an issue, or it's likely.
We don't have time to talk about that. We're done with our issue, but I think we need to talk about it, because if it is going to be an issue, and I think you're right, it'll be a political matter. Let's discuss this next week, and let's next week also do a wrap-up of what we thought about the year.
Yeah. How do you wrap a year up in 29 minutes or less?
Well, you'll figure it out.
We'll see. We'll see next year. Everybody, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And we'll see you still this year, not yet next year.
That's it. Okay.
See you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City, 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and Prince.